Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll read verses 3 to 17 for the message this morning, focusing mainly on verse number 10. As we mentioned, it's been our verse for the month of July, and we will preach from this portion of Scripture this morning. I trust it will be a blessing. Colossians chapter 1 is our text for the message, verses 3 to 17. We live in a day of knowledge today, don't we? A day when knowledge is very much emphasized. Schools, colleges, universities abound. It wasn't too many years ago that many people really, some didn't even go to school, and some went to school just for a few grades and then went to work on the farm and did different things, and education really wasn't emphasized in the way that it is today. But our culture has changed, and education is very much emphasized today. It's considered vital to have a diploma from high school, even to get a fairly basic job today. That's not the way it has always been. But today, most places would desire, if not require, that you have at least a high school diploma. And some are looking for more than that, of course. And then on top of universities and colleges, the internet is a great information gateway, isn't it? A lot of people, if you don't know the answer, what's the first thing you do? Pull out your smartphone, or you go with your laptop or your computer and you Google it and you try and find the answer, because information is available. There's a lot of information and knowledge that is available right at our fingertips. Daniel chapter 12 verse 4 tells of a time when knowledge would be increased. And by the way, I don't disagree with knowledge. I think education is a good thing. It's a good thing to finish school and to go to college or university or whatever, depending on what you want to do. Not everyone has to do that, but it's always a good thing to do. But the problem with a lot of education today and the increase in knowledge, there's been an increase in knowledge in general, but a turning away from the knowledge of God. In our text this morning, we speak about knowledge and increasing in knowledge, but it's increasing in the knowledge of God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Based on that definition that God gives, despite the fact that colleges, universities, and the internet abound with information and education, there's a lack of wisdom in our world today. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that in many cases, those who've turned away from God, professing themselves to be wise, have become fools. And so this morning, I'd like us to speak about increasing, but specifically increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians chapter 1, beginning verse 3, it says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have toward all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause also, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to spend. Thank you for a free country where we may meet together. And thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that we have in our hands that we can read from. Lord, that we know that it has a message from you, the God of this universe, the Creator of the world. You've given us this book that we may know You, and Lord, that we may increase in our knowledge. And so, Lord, I pray that our knowledge would be increased of You today. And Lord, I pray that if there be anyone here who's never come to that place where they know You in a personal way, that they will come to that knowledge today. For Lord, there'd be no greater joy than for us to share that knowledge with them and to have them know the wonderful peace that passes all understanding that comes through knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way. And so, Lord, I pray that this time would be a profitable time for us as we spend time with You. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice, first of all, the beginning of knowledge of God. In verses 3 and 4, we find that these people to whom this book is written had come to a place in their life where they placed their faith in Jesus Christ. It was their knowledge of God that caused them to place their faith in Him, according to what we read in verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says that they had heard of the truth of the gospel. They heard the gospel message. They heard that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again for their salvation. And because they had heard that and decided that they were going to believe it, then placed their faith in God, they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They came to know God in a personal way. It says in verse 6 as well that the fruit came from the giving of the gospel. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They heard the Word of God, and based upon what they heard and the knowledge that they heard, they placed their faith in the Lord. They decided to trust in Him. They made that decision to believe in Jesus Christ. And you know, the Bible says again, as we mentioned, that fruit came from the giving of the gospel. You know, wherever the gospel is preached, there's fruit that comes from the giving of the gospel. When the Word of God goes forth, the Bible says it does not return empty or void. It brings forth fruit. And that's what it did in the lives of these people. They believed in Jesus Christ. Now, not everybody who hears believes. That's unfortunate. God would desire that it would be so, that those who would hear would believe. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it is His desire that the gospel not only be preached, but the gospel also be believed. And that knowledge of God would result in knowledge of God in a personal way. Sadly, the Bible says that there are some who are ever learning, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, we talk about increasing in knowledge, but that knowledge needs to be applied. It's a sad thing when people learn and have a lot of knowledge in their head about God and about who God is, and yet they never come to the place where they place their faith in God. And so they never really know Him. They know facts, but they don't know Him in a personal way. To miss out on knowing God is indeed a sad situation. But when we talk about knowing God here, we're talking about a personal knowledge. To personally know the Lord. You know that you can know a lot about somebody or something without knowing them? You may know of, I'm sure we all know of, our Prime Minister. I mean, he is, after all, the leader of our country. Whether you like him or don't like him, we know some things about him. We know his name is Stephen Harper. We know that he was from Alberta. We know that he is the Prime Minister of our country. We know that his name is in the news and things that he says and does. And some people know a lot more about him than some of the rest of us. But not many of us actually know him. I've never met him. I know somebody who has, but I've never met him. And so we can know things about somebody. It may be the same with some famous person. And you may think, well, I really like that person. They're really important to me and significant to me. And you may study all about them, but never meet them. So you may say, I know about them, but I don't know them. Because there's a difference between knowing about somebody and knowing them. It's God's desire that people know not just about Him, but that they know Him the way these believers did, in a personal way. Jesus said this in John 17:3. He said, "And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." It's God's desire that people not just know about Him, but that they know Him. These people that we read about, according to what we've read here in verses 4 and 5, they had placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and so therefore, their knowledge of God was a personal knowledge. They knew God. Do you know Jesus Christ today? Do you know Him personally? I don't mean do you know about Him. A lot of people know that Jesus Christ came, that He was born in a stable in Bethlehem, and that He grew up, and that He was crucified on a cross, and that He was buried, and the third day rose again. But do you know Him? Have you placed your faith in that which the Bible tells us about Him? We see not only the beginning of their knowledge was coming to know Jesus Christ personally, but we see the blessings of their knowledge of God in verses 4 to 8. We find, first of all, one of the main blessings, and there are many blessings of knowing God, but the ones that are mentioned in our text here this morning in verse number 4 and verse number 8 in particular, and verse number 5. First of all, we see that they had the hope of heaven. Verse 5 says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now, if you go and do a poll on the street today, you would probably find, if you ask people, do you know that you are going to heaven? You'd probably hear a lot of people say, "I hope so." We use the word hope to be the cross your fingers. I hope it's not going to rain this afternoon because I would like to go for a walk and spend some time outside. We use that word hope in that way. It's a wishful thinking, a desire that we say this is what I would like to take place. And many people, that's with their situation with heaven. They say, I hope I'm going to heaven. They say, my fingers are crossed, my toes are crossed, I hope that I'm going to heaven. But when the Bible speaks here about the hope that was laid up for them in heaven, it's not speaking of that kind of hope. You see, hope in the Bible is assured expectation, a confident assurance, a confident expectation. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 19, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. Now, if you were in a boat on a stormy sea and you let down the anchor because you wanted to hold that boat in position, you wouldn't say, I hope that we have an anchor. You would say that anchor is there. It's a big weight. It's on a big chain and it's going to hold us in position. It's something that you would be sure of. And that's the kind of hope that the Bible is speaking about here. It's sure, it's steadfast. And the Bible says that they had a hope laid up for them in heaven. Why did they have that? How did they have that? Because they knew God. Because they knew Jesus Christ. They'd placed their faith in Him, and therefore, knowing God, they had a sure salvation. All who know God personally and have received Jesus Christ as their Savior have the assurance of a home in heaven. That's a wonderful thing to have. The hope of eternal life. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. It's a confident expectation that we can have in knowing that one day when this life ends, we will be in the presence of God in a beautiful place called heaven. That's an awesome thing to know. And it comes from knowing God. That knowledge of God in a personal way results in knowing that we have a place in heaven, the hope of heaven. Something as important as our eternal destiny can't be left to uncertainty. You know, many people say, well, I hope I'm good enough. That's not the way to get to heaven. And it's not something that you want to leave to that kind of situation. God says He wants us to know that we have eternal life. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? Do you know Him personally? Do you know that you have a home waiting for you in heaven? You can have that knowledge before you leave today. We're talking about increasing in knowledge. We know God personally, and the knowledge of God in that personal way results in the blessing of having the assurance of heaven one day. It's a wonderful thing to know. But not only was the blessing of knowing God the knowledge of and the hope of heaven, but also the blessing of knowing God was a love for others. In verse 4, he says, the love which ye have toward all the saints. Verse 8 says, who hath also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. The knowledge of God in that personal way brings a love for God and a love for other people, a love for other believers in particular. The Bible says that those who know God and know His love are to love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says this, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. When we know God in a personal way, God, His love is perfected in us, 1 John chapter 4 also tells us. And He gives us a love for people that we didn't have before. You think about the Apostle Paul, who under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit wrote these words in Colossians here. And if you would read the book of Acts, you read the first few chapters of the book of Acts, particularly chapter 5 to 8, you find a man named Saul. A man who hated people who believed in Jesus Christ. A man who said, I'm going to imprison and even put to death those people who believe in Jesus Christ. But in chapter 9, something very drastic takes place in his life. On the way to persecute Christians, he meets the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord reveals himself to Saul. Saul knows Jesus Christ then in a personal way from that point on. And in the rest of chapter 9, you know what you find him doing? Meeting with Christians and telling other people about the Lord. What made the great change? The salvation, knowing God, meeting Jesus Christ, coming to know Him in a personal way brought that love for others into his life. And those whom he once persecuted, he was desiring to spend time with. Now, some of them were a little reluctant to spend time with him. Now, wait a minute. This is that guy who used to kill people like us, used to imprison people like us. And it took another friend that came alongside him and said, hey, listen, God has made a great change in his life. He's not out to persecute you anymore. He's on our side now. He loves God. He's met Jesus Christ. And he knows the Lord. This love that is given to us is evidenced in the desire that we have to fellowship with other believers. That love is evidenced in the care that we have for other believers in their need. Remember the early church, and the Bible says that they cared about one another so much that of those thousands that got saved on the day of Pentecost, that they shared their wealth one with another. That's not a command of God, but their love and concern for people who had need said, they have a need and I can minister to that need, therefore I will do that. Because of the knowledge that I have of God and the change that God has made and the love that He has placed in my life. And so there's the beginning of the knowledge of God, that's coming to know Him personally. There's the blessings of the knowledge of God, that assurance of heaven, and that love one toward another. But then we find really, and that's the focus of the message this morning, is the broadening of your knowledge of God. Notice what we read in our verse that we've been learning this month, and that is increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing means gaining more or broadening in your knowledge of God. There's a desire expressed here that the knowledge that they had would grow. That it would not just remain small, but that it would increase and grow to a bigger, broader knowledge. You know, the knowledge of God should not end with salvation. There are some people who, it seems, are happy to receive God's gift of salvation and have the assurance of heaven and say, that's fine, that's good, that's all I want. I want no more, and that's all I want to know about God. He's given me my free ticket to heaven, and that's all I want to know. That's not God's desire for us, and that wasn't the Apostle Paul's desire for these people. As wonderful as it is to know the assurance of heaven, there's so much more. And those who stop with only having the assurance of heaven and that amount of knowledge miss out on so much. See, salvation is so much more than a fire escape. Salvation is not only knowing God personally to say, yes, I know Him, therefore He'll welcome me into heaven. But salvation is, and knowing God is that which God desires to grow. and to deepen in our life. In Hebrews 6, he talks of going on from our salvation. Moving on doesn't mean that we forget that we're saved. Doesn't mean that our salvation isn't dear and precious to us, but it means that we desire to know more. The Apostle Paul, again, who penned these words, who went about starting churches and telling people about the Lord all over, risked his life and was persecuted greatly for his faith and knew great amounts about the Lord. He was a preacher. He'd been taught, even before he became a Christian, many things about God. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. His desire was, I want to know more about my Savior. I want to know him in a deeper, better way. And so he says in verse number 9, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul's desire was that these fellow Christians would be filled with the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's will, that they would know more about the God who had saved their souls. His desire, his prayer for them, his sincere desire, that he said, we don't stop praying that this is going to take place. We pray and pray and pray and pray and pray some more for you that you would increase in your knowledge of God. He says, we do not cease to pray for you. Since the day we heard that you got saved, we're praying that you know God more. We're praying that your knowledge of him would increase. His desire was based in a desire for their well-being. He wanted the best for them. He wanted what he enjoyed himself. He wanted them to have wisdom. He wanted them to have understanding. And he said, listen, we're praying for you that you would increase in your knowledge. That you'd be filled with the knowledge of God. Not to stop, but to keep growing. Keep growing on in your faith. What are the results of that broadened knowledge of God? Well, he tells us about those things in the verses that we have read this morning. In verse number 10, we find that broadened knowledge of God helps us know how to please him. It says there in that verse we've been learning that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. If you're filled with the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his will, then you will know what pleases God. In an earthly relationship, a personal, physical relationship that we have as friends and as spouse, between spouse and so on, we desire to know those better that we care about. We want to get to know them. One of the greatest things about a friendship is that it can continue to grow because we have a desire to know one another more. We had a wedding here on Friday, and sometimes we think, you know, that wedding day, we think, oh, this is it. I know them so much. I love them so much. And this is just the ultimate day. And in many ways it is, but in many ways it's really just the starting of a great life. Because it's the starting of really getting to know that person better. Say, well, I know all about them. No, you really don't know all about them until you live with them for a while and see how they deal with their laundry and see how they, you know, how things go. And, you know, when you wake up in the morning, how bad their breath smells and all, you know, all those kind of things. Not that I speak from experience, but of course, you know, 24 years coming up next Monday. Amen. A week away. But, you know, it's an increasing thing, isn't it? That relationship deepens as time goes by. And that's the way it should be. When we get married, we think we know that person so well, but as time goes on, we get to know them more. And as we know that person more, then we know better what pleases them. We know what upsets them too, and we're supposed to stay away from what upsets them and do the things that please them. Now sometimes we have those days where we go, oh, I just know how to get them. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. God says to husbands, he says to us, he says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. That means we should make it our practice to study our wives, what they desire, what they like, that we may know how to please them, that we may know the things that will encourage them and help them. And so it is with our walk with God. He says that our increased knowledge, that being filled with the knowledge of God, will help us to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. To desire to please God. to desire to do those things that please Him. To have an increased knowledge of God and His holiness brings about an understanding of how to walk worthy of His calling in our lives. Like a baby, a new Christian knows little about the Christian life. But as he or she matures, he or she understands what God desires and what will please God. And it should be our desire to know Him more, that we can do those things which are pleasing to Him with our life. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, in our verse there, to be fruitful in every good work. Increased knowledge brings about increased fruit. It helps us to be more fruitful. When you're new at something, you don't necessarily know how to do it well, but as you take time to learn it, you get better at it. That's the way it is with work. You start a new job, and you're learning the new job, and it takes you five times as long to do it as it really should sometimes. But you know the saying, first you get good, then you get fast, right? You have to learn. It takes time to do it that way. But as you learn that job and you become more comfortable with it and you become more able to do it, then you become more fruitful in it. In other words, your employer is getting a better bang for their buck for what they're paying you. You know, in the Christian life, as a new Christian, we have a limited knowledge on how to put into practice Christian principles. But as we grow and we learn more about God, we say, oh, that's how that works. Oh, okay, now I understand a little bit better, and now I can do this better. I can live my life in a way that will be more fruitful and more pleasing to God. Our Bible reading becomes more fruitful in our own life as we understand it more. Our knowledge is increased. And then we read it and we say, oh wow, that's great. That's awesome. And we begin to grasp those things and it brings fruit in our life. Our prayer time, we learn to pray more effectively. Like the disciples who, though they followed with Jesus and were spent time with Him, they said to Him one day, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They wanted to know how to get answers from God. They wanted to have a fruitful prayer life. And God says as our knowledge is increased, we become more fruitful. We learn more how to reach other people with the gospel, how to share it with them in a way that they will understand, and how to answer the questions that may be stumbling blocks to them understanding the gospel, so that we see people come to know the Lord and we become more fruitful in our walk with God. And so he says that increased in knowledge will result in more fruit. It will also strengthen us in verse 11. He says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. As we know more of God and we know Him better and we draw closer to Him, we will be strengthened in our faith. We say, I trusted Him and He helped me, and therefore I trust Him more. And our knowledge of Him increases, and we say, now I know that He can help me. We get to know the Bible more, and we understand more and more what it means to hide God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him, and we are strengthened. And when the temptations come, we learn to answer them in the way that Jesus did, as it is written. Then we answer with the Word of God because our knowledge is increased, and therefore we are strengthened in our stand and in our walk with Him. As we know God better and rely on Him more, He gives us a strength beyond our own. As it says here, strengthened according to His glorious power. Strengthened with that strength of the one who says he faints not. And he doesn't grow weary. And there's no searching of his understanding. Strengthened to be patient. Oh, how we need that. Strengthened to rejoice even in times of difficulty. Broadened knowledge brings strength, and it also brings praise to God. In verses 12 to 17, we won't read them again, but we'll think about some of those things just for a quick moment today. But you realize the more that you understand of things, the more amazed you are about them. When you're a child and somebody gives you a watch, and usually children like digital watches so they can just say exactly what it says, but you know, you don't think about how it works. You just put it on and it tells the time. You know, you think if you pick up a phone and you say, oh, you can pick up this phone here and you can dial grandma, you can talk to grandma or whatever. They just pick up the phone and dial grandma and those kind of things. You don't have a great deal of knowledge about it. You can just use them. But as you start to realize, I still don't get how this works. I mean, how can I dial somebody from here or send a text message and it shows up just instantaneously on their phone, or I can talk to them as if I'm right beside. I don't know how it goes through thin air. I still don't understand how those things work, but the more I think about that, the more I marvel and say, that's amazing that I can speak with a member of my family on the other side of the ocean in England on a telephone that's not even connected to a wire, and somehow it gets transmitted across the ocean or under the ocean or around the world. It's just, wow. And the more you start thinking about those things, the more you say, that is amazing. How much more the deepness of our relationship with God, the more we understand, the more we think about what God has done in our life, as we take time to ponder that, and the more we know what has taken place in our life, the more we go, wow. See, salvation is so simple. This morning, the children that are downstairs, they can understand that God loves them. They can understand that Jesus died for them. They can understand that by trusting Jesus and by asking Him to be their Savior, that He will forgive them of their sin and be their Savior. Salvation is very simple. I got saved when I was 12 years old. Some got saved younger than that. Some came to know the Lord that way at a younger age, but some at an older age. But it's very simple to understand the concept of what took place. It's a simple process to become a Christian. But as we learn what happened when we got saved, and our knowledge increases of what really took place, wow. Wow. He says here that we were delivered from the power of darkness. Delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Darkness is a representative sin of wickedness and of the devil himself. We were captivated in the power of darkness, but in our salvation, Jesus Christ delivered us and set us free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We were delivered from a power that we could not deliver ourselves from, and we were translated or placed into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We were redeemed by His blood. The blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary is that which paid a price that we couldn't pay. We were slaves to sin and to Satan. And Jesus Christ, by dying on the cross, He said, I've paid your price. He didn't pay it with silver and gold. He paid it with His own life's blood. An incomprehensible price paid out of the greatest love known to man. And He forgave our sin. That's what these verses are talking about. See, when we get saved, we understand. We say, yeah, I understand. I'm a sinner. I understand Jesus died for me. I believe it took place. But as we become a Christian and we learn more about what took place in those few moments on that day when we got saved, we say, wow, that's incredible. God forgave me of all my sin on that day, every single sin. That's a lot of sin. More sin than we realized that day. As we realized, as we grow in our faith, just how far away from God we were. A greater knowledge of God's love and salvation will cause praise to flow towards Him, and our increase in knowledge, our broadened knowledge, causes us to say, what a great God, what a great Savior. We could take time to look at the different things that are mentioned here about the fact that Jesus is the image of God, God Himself in the flesh. Can you imagine God, the infinite Creator, confined Himself to a human body where He could only be in one place at a time? Hard to imagine. As our knowledge of those things increase, it brings glory in our minds to God. The fact that He is the Creator of things in heaven and things in earth. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Things visible, all the beauty and magnificence of creation, the rivers and the mountains and the lakes and the trees and the flowers, and we could go on, but things invisible. Realize I'm not floating up here today because the invisible force of gravity is keeping me down to the ground. How many invisible things are there that God has made that we don't even think about? But if we take time to think about them and study them, we say, wow, what amazing God. See, increased knowledge says increase in glory. He holds everything together. Can you imagine holding all the world together? We may admire the CEO of a large corporation for his or her skills in keeping that business going and holding it together and making sure that it stays in business and stays profitable and all those things. But can you imagine holding the universe together? That's what God does. By Him all things consist. We can't even see the end of this universe. But God's holding it all together. And as we learn those things and consider those things, it's an amazing thing. Can you imagine how fragile the ecosystems are in this world, and yet God is holding it together? We must stand in awe of a God who can do that. No need to fear global warming or a third world war destroying the earth, because the Bible says that He's kept it by the word of His power until the time that He says it's done. By Him all things consist. An honest evaluation, when our knowledge increases, say we have a great God, a great Savior. And our increased knowledge results in increased praise. So how's your knowledge today? I don't mean what university degree you may or may not have, or college degree, or how much skill you have in the job that you do, or in the place that you go, or the things that you know. I mean, how's your knowledge of God? Do you know Him personally? Has there been a time and a place in your life where you called upon Him to forgive you and to save your soul, where you said, Lord, I believe everything You said in this book that You did for me. I believe and I know I'm a sinner, and I believe You died for me, and I place my faith in You to save my soul. There's been a time where you met Him that way, that you came to know Him personally. If not, today would be a great day to meet Him that way, to know Him personally. To go from a knowledge of Him to knowing Him. Do you have the assurance of heaven for sure? That's what comes. That's one of the blessings that comes with knowing Him. Is your knowledge of God broadening? If you know, you say, yes, I know Him. I know, I'm a Christian. I remember when receiving Christ as my Savior. Is your knowledge growing? Is it broadening? Or are you happy just to camp yourself out here and say, yeah, I know enough? Or do you desire to know Him more? To get into this book, to be in the house of God, to spend some time on your knees before God, just talking to Him, getting to know Him more. A broad knowledge will help you know how to please Him more. It'll make you more fruitful in your Christian life. It'll strengthen you, and it'll cause you to praise Him. The question is, are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Pray together. Lord, thank You again for this time, and thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this great portion of Scripture today, and Lord, the challenge it's been to us. Lord, I pray today for any who may not know Jesus Christ personally. Lord, I don't know the hearts of anybody here but myself, but You know the hearts of all, and I pray that You speak to the heart of each one today. Lord, if there be anyone that is not sure of heaven, maybe they've been crossing their fingers and hoping that they could go to heaven one day. But Lord, I pray that today, if that be their case, that they would come to know You personally, and that they would know the assurance of heaven. Lord, for those who know You, I pray that we wouldn't stop with just the knowledge that we are saved, but that our desire would be to know You more, to read the Bible, to pray, to be in church, to study the Bible so that we can know You better. For we know that if we do those things, we will benefit by it in so many ways. And so, Lord, I pray You speak to us this morning, and may each one know Your Spirit speaking to their heart today. We pray in Jesus' name.